Oh, I guess I,
everybody ready?
We're ready. If not, we're still going. So I call the Legislative Council meeting for August 17th, 2017 to order at 12:02 p.m. Molly, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Clayman? Representative Clayman? Speaker Edgman? Representative Guttenberg? Representative Millett?
Here.
Representative Ortiz? Representative Stutes?
Do we have an audio issue?
Representative Stutes is here.
There we go.
I can't tell if you can hear me.
Representative Ortiz, can you hear me?
I am here, yes, and I can hear you.
It's Representative Clayman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Speaker Edgman, can you hear us? Representative Guttenberg? Representative Drummond?
I'm on the line.
Representative Eastman? Senator Hoffman? Senator Kelly? Senator McKinnon?
Here.
Senator Meyer?
Here.
Senator Michicki?
Here.
Senator Giesel?
Here.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Here.
Chair Kito?
Here.
This is David Guttenberg. I'm on.
And I'm sorry, did you get Representative Stutes?
Yes.
You did, thank you.
Thank you.
I show 12 members present.
And with 12 members representing both the House and the Senate, we do have a quorum to conduct business. So welcome, everybody, to the August meeting of Legislative Council. We have a few smaller items and then an executive session. So if we can go ahead and get started, we'll do approval of the agenda. So the agenda at this point is ratification of charitable events. I've got a contract, two contract approvals, and then executive session. And we've got an update under other business on the work happening on the Anchorage Legislative Office. So I would entertain a motion to, and actually for everyone's information, because we are doing this meeting via teleconference, all of our votes will be taken via roll call. Next item on the agenda, approval of the agenda. Senator Stedman, can I get a motion?
I move that Legislative Council approve the agenda.
Okay, Molly, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Clayman?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Millett?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stutes? Representative Stutes?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon? Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Senator Meyer?
Yes.
Senator Michicki?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Kito?
Yes. So the agenda has been approved. Move on to item number three, ratification of charitable events. We have Boys and Girls Club of the Kenai Peninsula Annual Auction Gala. And do we have any questions about the event or approval?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Michicki.
Just for full disclosure, I am a member of that board and have been for 25 years. If it's best that I don't vote, that's probably a better way to go.
I'm sorry, you're requesting to not have to vote, I guess?
Yes.
Okay. Are there objections to Senator Machicki abstaining?
Object.
We have an objection, so Senator Machicki, you will be required to vote. Any other comments or questions about ratification of the Boys and Girls Club of Kenai Peninsula annual auction gala? Hearing none, Senator Stibman.
I move that council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable event per AS 2460-080-A2B, Boys and Girls Club of Kenai Peninsula annual auction gala.
Okay, and Molly, can you call the roll? Apologize, we're making you get a little bit of extra exercise today.
That's okay, I appreciate it. Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Keto?
Yes. So the ratification has been approved. We move on to the next item number four, contract approvals. We have two contract approvals. Jessica, if you want to come forward. First contract approval for us is FY 2018 Microsoft Software Renewal. I guess that's Tim. So, Tim, if you can come forward and give us a little brief presentation on what we're looking at here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, members of the council. For the record, my name is Tim Banaszak, and I'm the IT manager for the Legislative Affairs Agency. So this request in front of the council today...
Representative Keto, could we ask him to draw closer to the microphone?
Oh, sorry. How about now? Is this a little better? Oh, this one's not...
Much better, thank you.
Oh, it's helpful to talk into the right mic. We'll try this again. So,
okay.
Thank you. So the request that's before the council today is for our FY 2018 Microsoft Enterprise Software Renewal Agreement. It's for $124,826.62. This, the Alaska Legislature, along with the executive and judicial branches, are in the third and final year of a three-year licensing agreement with Microsoft for its software products that the state of Alaska uses. The Software House International, or SHI, is the state's reseller, provider of the software, which includes a number of the software packages that we use, including Windows 10, the Windows Server Operating System, Office Productivity software such as Word, Excel, Outlook, Exchange, PowerPoint, and some of that software. It's also important to note, too, that other software covered under this agreement includes the legislature's network software and internet systems software that provide us with email exchange, SQL databases for our BASIS application and other applications, network storage, otherwise known as our N drives, our web servers such as AKLedge, .gov, our website, SharePoint, and our Skype for Business Communication services. Also, with this agreement is included our increased email capacity that we're going to be migrating to prior to session start, so that'll really bring some relief for our folks here for storage capacity. And then also there's some software licensing included in that for mobile devices as well. And then the last few points, Mr. Chairman, the enterprise agreement that we have provides the legislature for both the benefits of reduced volume pricing as well as enhanced technical support and also regular software upgrades and training vouchers for technical services. So this allows us to operate at the current operating system level with our agreements. And the again, the legislature's cost for this agreement in this final third year for FY 2018 is $124,826.62, and it does require that Legislative Council review and approve this before we can make that payment. This amount is budgeted under the administrative services component each year. It's also maybe helpful for the council to be aware that the executive branch is beginning negotiations now with Microsoft for our next year's contract. Since the third and final year is this year, we'll need one in place for FY beginning in July of calendar year 2018. So once that is in place, then we'll certainly be able to participate in that as well. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Banaszak, thank you. I do have one question. I don't recall, or maybe you did mention it. Does this include our ability to utilize this contract to do a pilot program on Office 365?
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Chairman. The software licensing agreement is includes that as part of this.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Representative Millett?
Thanks. First, I just want to say thank you, just to put on the record that you and your staff won a national award recently at the National Conference of State Legislators. I just want to acknowledge your great work on the website and acknowledge that you guys did get a national award. I was pretty proud to see that Alaska is right up there with some of the larger states on technology advancement. So thank you for the for all the hard work you and your staff do.
Thank you, Representative Millett, through the chair. Yeah, we appreciate that. And there's a lot of folks that put that work, our LIO, Tim Powers, our IT staff. So thank you very much. That was very nice for the state to receive that.
Okay, do we have any other committee questions or comments about the 2018 Microsoft software renewal? I'm not hearing anyone, so Senator Stedman?
I move that Legislative Council approve the expenditure of $124,826.62 to Software House International for the legislature's portion of the annual Microsoft Enterprise Agreement.
Molly, if you could call the roll, please.
Representative Klayman?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg? Representative Guttenberg? Representative Millett?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Stutes?
Yes.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Senator Meyer?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Keto?
Yes. So with that,
Senator Hoffman here, yes.
Thank you. We'll acknowledge Senator Hoffman has joined the meeting. Okay, thank you. With that, the FY 2018 Microsoft software renewal has been approved in the amount of $124,826.62 to Software House International. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is Wells Fargo Resolution Recovery Plan approval and lease extension. This is an amendment to our lease with Wells Fargo at 1500 West Benson Boulevard. Do we have Doug Gardner online to discuss this? Okay. Mr. Gardner, can you give us a brief presentation on this lease extension, please, and the recovery plan?
Representative Keto and other ledge council members, this proposed lease amendment that you have in the packet is a combo, I suppose you could say. I'm not specifically, Pam Varney has dealt with Wells Fargo regarding their request for an additional 3.5 months of time, but as far as the legal piece goes, this lease extension would allow Wells to continue to extend their use of one of the floors in the building. Pam can specify that. I think it's the third floor for 3.5 additional months. My understanding is they're having a logistical issue with a renovation that they hope to move into. My understanding from Pam is that this would, the lease rate would remain the same for that space, and that this is not harmful or disruptive to the legislature. The other thing that the amendment does is, and we visited this once in March, but this amendment attempts to respond and does respond to Wells Fargo's request under federal law to try and address any resolution event that might occur in the event that Wells Fargo you know, enters into this wonderful world of a resolution and is perhaps picked up, or some of their assets are picked up by an affiliate. Emily Nauman put together a memo to Ledge Council members, Representative Keto, and on page 2 of that memo, it pretty much goes through the punch list of what the highlights of that are. And I don't know how you want me to proceed. It might get pretty dry if I go through each and every one of those things, and I don't know if members have had a chance to look at that memo. So tell me what you'd like me to do.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gardner. What I'd like to do is have Ms. Varney come up and provide maybe a little bit of a higher-level overview of what we're doing, and then request from council members if there's any interest in going through specifics of the lease.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Varney.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pam Varney, Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. I believe we also have Jeff Rader from Wells Fargo online, and he can speak to the resolution. Would you like me to speak to the amendment of the lease, the 3.5 months, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Varney, please.
Okay. All right. Presently, Wells Fargo is leasing the third floor besides the branch space. The branch space, we have a 10-year lease, and Wells Fargo has vacated the fourth floor and the third floor. They were supposed to be out by March 15th, and their renovations on the Northern Lights space they had just a little bit of a delay, and so they asked if they could extend for 3.5 months. They are presently paying $34,648.75 per month. So this would be an additional 3.5 months. It would be another $121,270.63 of revenue to the legislature. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Varney. And I think the only thing that I would maybe add for clarification is that March 15, 2018 was the date for expiration of the lease, and this extends that lease to June 30th, 2018, correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. And I guess what I might do, just for the record, Mr. Rader, if you could talk to us briefly about the resolution recovery plan components of the lease extension or the lease amendment.
Hi. Jeff Rader, Wells Fargo here. And I think Doug Gardner captured it correctly, the resolution recovery plan. This is language that the federal government is having all banks secure in all of their leases across the country in the event there is a resolution or a insolvency, and really provides that that the bank branch would be maintained and operated by a receiver. There would be no change in the rent payments, but it just allows for affiliates or the receivership to run that operation during the insolvency. Most of this, as I understand it, is currently statutory law anyway. It does go a little bit farther in its allowance of affiliates than I think what the statute has. So we have some 5,000 of these across the country and are asking landlords to accommodate that request to have this language in our leases.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rader. So do we have any questions from council members for Mr. Rader, Ms. Varney, or Mr. Gardner regarding the Wells Fargo lease modifications?
But it's Representative Klayman. I just have one question.
Representative Klayman?
my understanding is that the rate that Wells Fargo is paying is a competitive market rate for the space that we're leasing.
Ms. Varney.
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, that is correct. And I know we have two different rates for the branch and also the third floor. I could certainly get that to you. My recollection is one of them is in the $3 range and the other is, I believe, $2.65 a square foot.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. I don't need any more information. That was what I remember from some earlier meetings on the topic, and I was just confirming that my memory is accurate. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members?
David Guttenberg, yeah.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. Perhaps to Mr. Gardner, Mr. Rader's comments about statutory required. It's statutory required of them, but not of us as the landlord. So what is the difference protections for us for doing this or not doing this? I mean, this is a lease extension, but also if they go into some form of receivership or resolution, the FDIC has certain amount of leeway on canceling leases or other things. So what is the actual benefit to us besides 3 months of additional rent? What protections are we given or do we acquire when we do this?
So I guess I would put that over to Mr. Rader or Mr. Gardner.
I would prefer somebody not representing the bank answer the question.
Mr. Gardner, do you have some thoughts on that question?
Thank you, Chairman Pito. Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, I think my experience with contract issues and the leases just that is that, and I recognize that the FDIC can probably wield a fairly heavy hand and probably have a lot of influence over and maybe even chart their own course on the lease to some extent under their powers in a resolution event. However, I think that if there is a resolution event, God forbid that Wells Fargo is in a resolution event, but if there is, I would sure like to, on behalf of the legislature, be in a position to at least talk to the affiliate and talk to Wells and talk to the feds with some of these provisions, and I can go through them if you'd like, but I think having something in our lease where we have attempted to comply with federal law and we at least have some protections and some bookends on it would be helpful. You know, for example, the lease doesn't require us to continue to extend it to the affiliate beyond the period of the lease. But, you know, it might be that in a negotiation that we want to have, we've done our best to protect ourselves. We may not have the final word on that, but it may very well be that the affiliate and the feds really try and follow the lease. I think people generally do. And so I guess my overarching comment as a nonpartisan, just a nonpartisan comment here is that having some provisions that protect us the best that we can under these, this is unique. I mean, normally we protect ourselves and have a lot of a free hand to do so in a lease. This isn't probably one of those times, but I just think that having some language that we can fall back on both in terms of dealing with the current lessee with Wells and dealing with an affiliate, if that comes to it, I just would prefer to have that kind of language. And, you know, I get more specific if you'd like, but I think that's the overarching issue is that I got from the March discussion and from your comments is, you know, should we do this at all? You know, if federal law is just going to pave over us, why do we care? And I think, number one, I think we control our destiny as much as possible, and number two, we're in this together with Wells Fargo. They're partners with us in terms of this lease, and I think that we should do what we can to try and amend the lease in a way that's mutually beneficial to comply with federal law. But if you have a specific question, Representative Guttenberg, shoot, and I'll try and answer it.
Representative,
sure. Well, Mr. Through the chair, thank you. Just going through some of the provisions, and as far as protections for us and. This is a relatively new lease. This hasn't been around that long. So what did we leave out of the original lease that we have to add this language besides the resolution events? We're talking about good faith effort to do things. the lease is relatively new. You know, why can't we fall back on the language that was in here that was mutually agreed upon to begin with?
Through the chair, Representative Gumbert, if you're talking about, are you just talking about the resolution event language, or are you talking about also the, I take it that the decision on just extending the lease for the 3 months is just not the issue here. You're mostly focused on the resolution part, is that right?
Well, I'm trying to get at what, we have a relatively new lease that we signed in good faith effort. Now the bank comes back to us and say we need this to facilitate or to comply with the federal law. And I would assume that that's happening now because they didn't know before, which I scratch my head about, that this was going to be required into language of leases. Now I just wonder about our whole leasing process where this comes out later after the fact and we have to basically renegotiate something to meet federal statute, and what are we getting out of it, and what kind of the trade-off during the lease negotiations happen to begin with?
Jeff Rader, I'd be happy to field that question.
Defer to Mr.
Rader. Reason that this has come up now is you may have heard nationally about banks having to pass what is called a living will test. Part of it was through the Dodd-Frank Act. And so Wells Fargo, we failed it once, and then we failed it a second time, and it was that second failure that kicked off a lot of the reasoning behind this effort and work being done with the resolution recovery plan. And so that's why it was not addressed in the initial lease. The living will, and I don't have the dates here specifically, I believe it was in 2016 when that happened. We started this effort earlier, I think it was like March, April of this year, for all of the lease sites we've got across the country. And then I guess the other point to be made is that the lease term extension proposed in this amendment is really mutually exclusive from the RRP, or Resolution Recovery language. And that extension, it was really, as Doug Gardner pointed out, is a function of logistical issues getting space developed for the folks that are on that third floor at 1,500 Penn.
Representative Guttenberg, does that answer your question?
Well, so an additional question is, so if this is mutually exclusive from the resolution event, then I guess I need a little bit more clarification on that. Because I thought this was a part of that.
Representative Guttenberg,
through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, this amendment, this amendment could be split into two. You know, there's the question about extending the lease on the third floor, and that's just a money thing, and that's just a question about whether council wants to do that. The resolution amendment, I suppose, could stand alone. I agree with Mr. Rader. We were well represented by Stoll Reeves and the senior partner in Seattle on this lease negotiation, and I was not aware, nor I don't think we could have been aware that this compliance issue was in front of us. You know, I don't think there's a defect in the lease negotiation process. I think this is, as Mr. Rader had said, something's just come up. Both of these things have. So we're responding to events in the world and trying to deal with them. If the chair and council wants to split the amendment out, you know, we'll draft it and get that figured out. But these are two separate things, both of which I think just factually arose after we negotiated the lease.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Representative Guttenberg, and I guess I would offer that since we have opened up the lease for the extension and this other issue has been out there, it made a lot of sense just to do all of the lease work in one action. Any other questions, Representative Guttenberg?
Well, I know, but I was in Anchorage last week, and I walked through the building, and I have a certain amount of cynicism about our relationship with the bank.
Thank you, Mr. Gutten. Representative Guttenberg, that may be a slightly different issue, and we are going to be talking a little bit more about the building in our final item on the agenda today. So perhaps that discussion can take place at that point. Any other questions for either Mr. Rader, Ms. Varney, or Mr. Gardner?
Yes, Representative Drummond, I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Drummond, go ahead.
This may not be the appropriate set of folks to ask this question, and it might be just later when we talk about the building itself. Would the extension of this lease into June impact any plans we have that are underway for remodeling the building?
Thank you, Representative Drummond, and I can actually answer that. And at this point, we don't have any plans for remodeling the third floor, and plans for remodeling the second and the fourth floor are still open discussions. So at this point, extending the lease has no impact on anything that we are doing currently.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Any comments from committee members before we move to action?
Representative Klayman, I have a comment.
Representative Klayman, go ahead.
I support the lease extension in for two reasons. First is that if we didn't keep Wells Fargo there, we don't have a tenant to move into the third floor, so we actually would be losing money by not having the space leased, and this allows us to take more time to figure out exactly how we want to work with that space while actually having income coming in for the property. So I strongly support agreeing to the lease extension with Wells Fargo. The other thing I note, because my law office is actually in the other Wells Fargo building where they're renovating, is that we're actually the beneficiary of the fact that the construction that's going on in this Wells Fargo building at CN Northern Lights is taking longer than planned, and so as a result of those kind of extended construction plans going on here, we're benefiting from those delays. And another reason why we should take advantage of it, because the longer they're in the building that the state owns, that's more money for the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Klayman, and I would like to note that Representative Eastman has joined the meeting. Any other comments about the lease modifications? Hearing no other comments, Senator Stedman.
I move that Ledge Council approve the Wells Fargo Resolution Recovery Plan and Lease Extension, which requires an amount to our lease.
Amendment.
Excuse me, an amendment to our lease at 1500 West Benson Avenue with Wells Fargo.
And Molly, can you call a roll, please?
Representative Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Representative Eastman. Representative Eastman. Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman.
Yes.
Chair Keto.
Yes. So with that, the lease modifications have been approved by Legislative Council. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Yes, Senator McKinnon.
No, this is Representative Drummond.
Representative Drummond.
I believe that because Representative Millett is present, Representative Eastman doesn't vote in this situation, as he's the alternate.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. You are correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So next item we have is entering into executive session, Senator Stedman.
I move that Legislative Council go into executive session per Uniform Rule 22B2, discussion of subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of a person, with the two chairman's main staff members present. Everybody else is excused.
So, and I will ask if there is any concern from Legislative Council members with staff remaining online or in the room.
This is Senator McKinnon. It depends on what's being said. We've had that issue before where folks are in the room with cell phones. So I would say the fewer people in the room, the better.
So are you requesting that that we have executive session with legislators only?
Mr. Chairman, I will defer to your recommendation.
Senator Stibben? I guess what I will do, and my recommendation will be legislative affairs staff remain, legislative staff remain, as well as legislators, of course, but a reminder to everyone that participates in the executive session that items discussed during executive session are confidential and cannot be spoken of or released outside of this meeting. And that we would be very and definitely consider future actions of not having legislative staff included in the meetings if any information from executive session happened to be released outside of executive session. So, if
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Bachicki,
just something I think in this particular case with a single legislator being. The single legislator's affairs being discussed. I'm not going to second guess your ruling here, but I believe it will impede this open discussion for staff to be present.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Giesel.
Senator Giesel, go ahead.
I concur with what Senator Bachicki just said. I have concerns if staff were allowed to stay in the room. Thank you.
Okay, and so I will acknowledge those concerns, and what we will do is legislators can remain online or in the office. Legislative staff, aside from my staff, Ms. Kieneman, who's helping run the meeting, will not be included in executive session. And Senator Stebbins, staff Randy Raro, and then Legislative Affairs, Ms. Varney, Ms. Geary, Ms. Kiesel, and we will have a Danaya with Legislative Affairs for moderator. And there will be one other staff person. Yes, included. I don't have his name, but Jim Puckett will be included as well. So with that, we will enter into executive session. And
Representative Keto, this is Doug Gardner. Would you like me to sign off?
I will leave that up to Ms. Varney. Ms. Varney would like you to remain online if possible.
All right.
This is Jeff Rader. I will, with Wells Fargo, I will sign off at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Rader, and thank you for participating in the meeting. With that, we will recess to executive session. Thank you. So we have returned from executive session. We still have items to discuss. So what I will do is entertain a motion to we actually have one other item on our other business, and I would like to actually postpone that item. And then also we are going to continue the executive discussion, this executive session discussion at a future meeting because we have exceeded our time and we are going to start losing legislators. So what we will do is continue the rest of this meeting at a future meeting. So, Senator Stebman, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, I think we're going to do an executive session first.
We actually have exited executive session. We are in regular session now.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion we adjourn the meeting today.
Okay, thank you. Without objection, we will adjourn, and then schedule a future meeting for Legislative Council to continue our discussion as well as address any other issues that may need to come before us. With that, we are adjourned at 2:20 p.m. Thank you.